Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I gotta find my sermon.
Why?
Why?
No, that's what it's like.
Why? Why not?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't resist that one. Folks, the Bible. Okay? Yep. This was given to me by my folks. This was given to me by my dad on Christmas Eve in 1963, because I was starting confirmation. I have used this one a lot. Okay? This is the one I've read through a lot. I still read it. It's the Revised Standard. It's the one when I was a kid that was the official version of the Lutheran Church. It's also the one that the Roman Catholics have translated. That's all right. We're going to talk about that kind of stuff today. But I still use this one all the time. If you come to my Bible study on Wednesday mornings, I always have that one out, okay? Because many times I read from that. And I just shut my page again, so why? That was pretty quick, though. All right. Bible. From Koine Greek, that's Biblical Greek, the word is ta biblia. Ta biblia doesn't mean the book. It means the books, plural. The Bible is a collection of Christian texts. Okay, you know, at the end of Revelation, it says no one can change anything in this book. And people say, well, it applies to the whole Bible. No, that applies to Revelation. Okay? Because that's one of the books of the Bible. The Jews and Christians consider to be a product of divine inspiration and record of the relationship between God and humans. So, we have 66 books, not one. They're inspired, yes, by God. But what does inspired mean? Think of it for a second. Inspired in spirit. So they're brought to us by, we say it's by God, but it's brought to us by the Holy Spirit, inspired. All right, folks, what's the inspired version of the Bible? Is it the King James, the New International Translation, the English Standard, the American Standard, the Revised Standard, the Good News Bible, or a host of other translations? Which one's the Word of God? Okay. Well, folks, this actually is the Bible, okay? Has this one been used a little bit? Yeah, this is my Greek Bible, which I've translated. I put all my notes at the bottom of the page, okay? But part of the thing is, this is what we call a consensus text. Why? Well, folks, the earliest manuscript we have of the Bible that's still existing is from 900 AD, which is almost 1,000 years past the time when Jesus lived. Okay. Well, so what do we do when all of those copies have been made for 1,000 years? Do you think some mistakes could enter into the Bible? Oh, a couple. One or two, at least. Well, and also, it's Greek, so it goes to Romanian, it goes to Russian, English, German. Luther did the German Bible. Every time you translate, how do you translate idioms in one language to another? It's like French. If you speak French and you actually literally translate some of the idioms, it's dirtier than heck. But it doesn't mean what it says. You with me? So when we look at the Bible, it's actually something that people have gotten together and talked about. I'm looking for a page. All right. This is real little, but you can see the words of the Bible up here. And down here, we have half a page of notes. There are over 250 existing examples of the Bible, and they not all agree. So what we do is anytime it differs, it tells us what version it's in, what the words are different, and what the difference is between the official version and this. So I've got at my hands, anytime I study the Bible, all of those different versions. It's all Greek to me. But folks, you know, I spend a lot of time in my Greek Bible. You can tell it's pretty badly worn out. It's because I use it every day. Although I cheat now. I know, it's a business card. I cheat now and use it online because I can just hover over it if I don't remember what the word means, and it gives me a definition real quick. All right, so we have books in the Bible. But yet, if you've been in my Bible studies, you know that there's some that we really question whether they should be in there or not. All right, the Bible was put together, anybody remember what year? If you've been in my Bible studies, we've studied that. Okay, 300 AD. It's by a man by the name of Eusebius, or Eusebius, okay? He's the one that put together the canon of the Bible, and he's the one that decided what was going to be in there or not. Well, as they were working on this, they have the books that everybody agreed about. So what we call it is this, prolegomena. Legomena means to talk about, and what do you think pro means? Well, before or agree. You're for something. With me? Okay. But then we have some that there are some questions about. And legomena, anti-legomena, to talk against. Okay? Now, the Bible is set up the way it is because all the ones we agree come first. And the last seven books of the Bible are the ones that are the anti-legomena, which is James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John's, Jude, and Revelation. Why? Good question. Okay? Part of the thing is we look at this. For example, 1st and 2nd Peter. 1st and 2nd Peter are sermons that somebody wrote down and they put in the Bible. Does that mean they're bad? No. Okay? But they're not the things that we normally see in the Bible. James, if you've been in my Bible study, has got a lot of stuff that's connected with it. And there are people that, even Luther said, I don't think it should be in there. However, Luther preached from it 249 times in his career. Does that mean that he doesn't read it and doesn't agree with what's in there? You know, so as we look at the Bible, we start to accept what's in there, right? Well, let me show you why I'm talking about this today. 1 John 5, 7 to 8. I'm going to give you two versions of this. This is the King James, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Remember I've told you before the word Trinity isn't in there? Is that about the Trinity?
Yeah.
Sure it is, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. These three agree in one. So we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit, water, and blood. You see the relationship between them? Three and three. Now, here's the NIV, the New International Version, which I bet some of you have here today, or have at home. All right. For there are three that testify. That's it. So what happened to the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and bear record in heaven? There's three that testify. The Spirit, the water, and blood, and the three are in agreement. Is that the same message that's in the King James? Not as much, is it? All right, so which translation is the right translation? How do you know that? Well, you go back and you look at the Greek Bible. Part of the thing is the King James is almost 99% pure and accurate to the Greek Bible. The only problem is that most of the words, or at least a third of the words in there are not words that we use the same way anymore. So then you got to translate the King James. You see what I'm getting at? So let's go back to that. Which one's right? Well, they all are, because you already said that. You know, when I do my own Bible study, you've seen my program on it. I'll bring up 7 or 8 Bibles at one time. Why? They're written in a different way. You know, we're all human, so if we translate from an agenda. You know, if we were people that were reformed, which is like Presbyterians and things like that, your theology is going to be geared toward that, right? The ESV, which is a new one that was sponsored by the Lutheran Church. I bet there's some Lutheran theology in that translation, too. See what I'm getting at? But yeah, I like the way the NIV is written, and I use that, too. You know, part of the thing is when we look about this stuff, if it's got most of the words of Jesus and the apostles, it's a good version, isn't it? You know, remember the Good News Bible that came out in the 70s, which was a paraphrase? Was it the Word of God? Well, it wasn't totally, was it? But yet, is it the Bible? Yes. Did it bring people to God? Yes. Is it a good Bible? Yes. Okay. Because they understood. You know, we talk about the mistakes back then. Were there mistakes today? Yeah. But surprisingly enough, as we go through all the original versions, those 250, there's not a lot of mistakes. And it could be some of them are just somebody got tired and wrote it down bad. You know, we're going to get to our question today. Why? Okay. Why do we study the Bible? Why do we believe in the Bible? And why do we follow the instructions in the New Testament and the Ten Commandments? See why the question why sometimes is not simple? Well, why do we study the Bible? Because it's the Word of God, yes? Look at the Word became flesh today. Well, in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. It's a little wordy, but the thing is, He made everything. If it wasn't with Him, it wasn't made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that's the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. All right, folks, that's word for word what the Greek Bible states and speaks to us today. That's why it's a little bit wordy. Okay, it's a direct translation. Well, why do we believe in the Bible? It's because God in Christ is there, isn't it? Okay, and if one version speaks to you, if the Holy Spirit uses that version to speak to your heart, is it a good version? Yeah. Sure it is. You know, and especially in the Bible, sometimes things are very simple, aren't they? But yet, we can read things. We've had that happen in our Bible studies. We're reading, and all of a sudden, something jumps out at us that day that's an entirely new meaning. Where did that come from? The Holy Spirit leading us in the scriptures. It's there. You know, look at the parables. Parables are in the New Testament, right? But yet, we were led into the parables today by the Old Testament. Let me read this to you. This is out of our readings. I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. This is in the Psalm of it. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. Heard him and saved him. Well, folks, why did Jesus use parables to teach with? Well, how? He didn't use biblical language at all. He made them think. But the thing is, you don't understand the parables until you see yourselves in them. Now, do the parables apply to more than just one thing? All right, the tares, the parable of the tares and the chaff, you know where the people went out in the field and they put in this wheat that looks exactly like the wheat? Okay? And you can't tell until you reap the stuff what it is. I went through one time working on a sermon and I started reading the church fathers. Ready? Church fathers, commentaries. Guess what? 8 different interpretations of that parable. And on a 3-year rotation, that's 24 years. I think I had my sermon done for the next quarter century. Why? Because all of that stuff is in there. And Jesus knew that when he taught the parables. So they have an application in your life, more than just one thing. It has an application covering myriads of things. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Next question, why do we follow the Ten Commandments? It's God's word, but isn't that in the Old Testament? And that's First Covenant stuff, right? So why do we follow it? Why do we learn it when we go through confirmation? No. Remember, our question is why?
Because he said so.
When God takes his finger and writes on a piece of stone, what do you think we're supposed to do?
You better read it.
Now, here's the difference. In the first covenant, you had to, right? Because that's how you were saved, by following the law. In the new covenant, under Jesus Christ, we do it because we want to. See the difference? Okay? It's just as valid now as it was. And you know, you've heard me speaking here, it's not the 10 really strong suggestions, right? It's the 10 commandments. It pleases God. Now here's the thing that we don't look at very much. In the Greek Bible, when Jesus speaks, there's a form in here that's the imperative. Okay? Remember I've told you that, but I drop my head and I look, give you the look my mom used to do to me. You know, the will, you will do this. Okay. Jesus does that 47 times in the New Testament. What do you mean by that? Well, go ye therefore and baptize all nations. It's an imperative. The Beatitudes in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the, are all in the imperative form. Okay? Blessed are the meek before, because they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those are all in the imperatives. Last week I preached on the bread of life, and what we have in the gospel today is a continuation of that. As I was reading that in here, because I always start off by reading in this one, I thought the bread of life is important, isn't it? Because Jesus tells us, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And the people said, this is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? How does he say he came down from heaven? It's in here, isn't it? And the thing is, when we read the Bible, we are brought to Jesus. I don't care what version you use. The important thing is get in it. How many of you read the Bible every day?
I read online.
You read online?
Bible.com.
Yeah, I don't care. Folks, take 5 minutes in your morning and read the Bible. See how it starts to bring you down, make you relax, and make you think, starting your day. Isn't it good to start your day with God? Okay. I start my day with a Bible study. I hide in my room, and I've been working on Isaiah right now. Isaiah is one I've been working on this for about 2 years now. Because I'll work on it for a while, and then I'll go do something else, and then I come back to it. Because Isaiah is the prophecy in it, is one of those things, I'm trying to learn it. You know, remember, when you're in school, you can know something, but learning it means you're able to talk about it and have it in your memory. That's what I'm doing right now. But, folks, it's in there. Okay? Isn't this our guide for life? Isn't it a good guide for life? Yeah. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. I do too. Isn't that good? Thank you, Rod. But folks, he is the bread of life. He comes to us because he comes to us through his word. He is the word made flesh. He is the word that is with us, and it's recorded in his book. Now, we started off today giving a little bit of a history lesson, but we finished in the Bible. Isn't that why we're here? Let us pray. May the peace this word of the Lord brings to you keep you in the bosom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.